Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, this is our Talk Back program, no guest, your opportunity to call in during the entire hour. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm going to share the latest on health and nutrition and healing. Then some commentaries from Jeff Weiner, 8 Things I Miss About the Cold War. Also, The Age of Siege, Nazi Military Tactics Revisited by Felicia Arbanoth. We'll also be talking about 10 Things Science Taught Us About Happiness. Interesting. And then, of course, you'll have a chance to share your insights. Let's begin. Some more reasons from the latest scientific research of why we should not have soft drinks, the sugared soft drinks that are so ubiquitous in the United States. Kidney failure, an 11-year study, showed a strong correlation between the degeneration of our kidney function and consumption of aspartame-containing diet soda. Heart attacks and strokes. Researchers found that diet soda consumption was linked to a 44% higher chance of heart attack or stroke. Obesity. Research from Texas involving 474 individuals shows that consuming 2 or more diet sodas a day prompts an increase in waist size. And, in fact, the increase was a shocking 600% greater than those that did not drink diet soda. And from my perspective, the most damaging is cell damage. The University of Sheffield found that chemicals, quote, have the ability to cause severe damage to DNA in the mitochondria to the point that they totally inactivate it. So these are reasons not to have soft drinks. Volunteering to help others could lead to better health and reduced death risk not seen in people motivated by self-centered reason. Now, this is important because this comes from Science Daily, a mainstream publication, and it was published in Health Psychology. Here's what they found. I'll quote this from their study. It says, people who volunteer may live longer than those who don't, as long as their reasons for volunteering are to help others rather than themselves. And this is published by the American Psychological Association. And this, by the way, was the first time research has shown volunteers' motives can have a significant impact on lifespan. Volunteers live longer than people who didn't volunteer if they reported altruistic values or a desire for social connections as the main reasons for wanting to volunteer. Quote, this could mean that people who volunteer with other people as their main motivation may be buffered from potential stressors associated with volunteering, such as time constraints and lack of pay. And they looked at over 10,000 individuals in that study. I just think it's important in the world we live in today when you consider how many people are suffering, how many children, how many single parents, how many people are working at jobs and don't make enough to pay their rent and buy food or medicine. How many senior citizens who normally, if this were 40 years ago, would be able to retire and live within their means, but at least have a quality of life for the rest of their life. Today, people in their late 60s, 70s, and 80s are having to go back to work. In my travels, I'm finding them in all kinds of places, frequently at supermarkets. In the state of Florida and in other places, you'll find them bagging groceries and or assisting a person taking the groceries out to a person's car, sometimes working the cash registers. I've seen people in their 70s working in car washes to dry the cars, and I'm always curious, so I ask them, what was your career before then? And they talk about, oh, they worked, you know, a whole career at something, but their pensions are gone or they lost it in the crash and they had no choice. Their Social Security was not enough to cover all their different expenses. And you forget about what happens when you stop working. Well, then how do you pay for the basics? Food, health insurance, some form of domicile, either rent or mortgage payments, interest, taxes, and it all adds up, and medications or medical treatment on top of that. So there's no shortages of people who need help, and I just believe even animals with the ASPCA or animal recovery. So I just think all of us have a moral responsibility to get out of our comfort zone if we need to and look at the world around us and get out there and help people. And this study shows you're going to live a longer life. I remember my first exposure to aromatherapy with a Dr. Audrey Carger. She was just one of the most remarkable people I'd ever known. She came from a family that was in the railroad business, and she gave up a fortune because she didn't want to be a trust baby. She didn't want to be someone who just every day had a social secretary decide which party she would go to an event. Instead, she went to see the world, and she went all over the world on her own, exploring it. She was a rugged individualist. I never will forget the time. It was in March, and it was really bitterly cold upstate on my farm. And I had a little pond, a four-acre pond, and she said she wanted to come up and do a detox for a week, and I said, fine. I knew her and her husband, and there it was, 6 o'clock in the morning. I went out for my run, and I heard someone in the lake, and I went over, and there she was swimming. Now, it was cold, and she was vibrant, didn't bother her, and she was doing yoga no matter what the weather, and she loved helping people. But she also had a unique skill of using color and healing, and she also used aromatherapy and healing. She used them together. And she had oils that she had collected from different cultures around the world. So whatever condition you had, she would pull out a little vial, and she would put one or two drops on the back of your hand, or she would put some on a pillow if you were lying down. And I'm thinking at the time, I'm very young, I'm new to the field, how in the world could this possibly make a difference? But then it does. Today, we know that aromatherapy is certainly one of the more important adjunctive therapies there are, meaning in and of itself, it's not going to reverse a lot of major conditions, but in and of itself, or working with others, it can make a difference. Good news is that they are now starting to do more research on this. In fact, it was reported in the Japanese Journal of Pharmacology that they found that the simple inhalation of rose oil reduced sympathetic nervous system activity by 40%, and it also reduced adrenaline by 30%. That's substantial because that means that when we're in a fight-or-flight mood, when we're really hyper anxious or stressed, it brings us down to normal. We also know that there are flowers that are well balanced in their biochemistry to calm the human body, such as lavender oil. It's been studied and proven to reduce stress and anxiety and aggression, but most importantly, it does this by reducing cortisol levels. And then there are others as well. Now, what we now know is that once you breathe in the aromatherapy, the volatile compounds from the plants exert direct-to-brain actions, primarily through the limbic and olfactory systems, as opposed to the oral ingestion or topical application of a drug or herbal substance. It has a lot going for it in that tiny little molecule. Now, what we can now say with some certainty is that aromatherapy can help you if you have menstrual pain. Just by massaging the abdomen with some aromatherapy, it makes a difference. We especially rose essential oil for PMS and clary sage and lavender. A combination of three together, just two drops, and massaged it into your belly. If you have trouble sleeping, then lavender is great for that. And if you want to reduce stress, let's say you're in college and you're having a hard time, you're studying for exams, then use lavender. If you have excessive cravings for sweets, jasmine. Breathe it in. If you want to help someone get off addictive substances, use some black pepper extract. For arthritis pain, marjoram, eucalyptus, rosemary, and peppermint blended together. If you have dementia or you're beginning to lose your memory, rosemary and lemon oils in the morning and lavender and orange in the evening. If you have a migraine headache, lavender. And if you have depression, well, there's several that will help with depression, but it's all about having a massage with the lemon, which is good, and orange. So simple things like that. Inexpensive, easy, and you just breathe. A lot of people are now on a gluten-free diet, and good for them. The latest research on gluten is confirmed to cause a serious weight gain, or what is called the wheat belly. This is in the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry, and they found some research in Brazil where the wheat belly syndrome, where people were eating wheat or bread or pastas, and it can cause metabolic syndrome, obesity, diabetes, even cardiac problems. So by putting them on a gluten-free diet, weight is lost even if calories are the same. So it's very important to go on a gluten-free program. Now, the latest on the coffee bean also shows that the coffee leaf is extremely healthy. Now, this is from the Food Navigator and published in the Annals of Botany. This was done at the Royal Botanical Gardens in Kew in the United Kingdom, and also the French Research Institute for Development. And here's what it says. It says, tea brewed from the fruit and leaves of coffee plants can be a healthier option than either tea or coffee alone. What they found is that the leaves contain very high potentially beneficial phenolic compounds, including one that is called mangiferin, M-A-N-G-I-F-E-R-I-N, and also a hydroxycinnolimic acid. So, quote, the potential health benefits of the coffee leaf tea is substantial. So we know that the coffee bean, raw and extracted, has very high antioxidant qualities to it as well. And then another one shows, and this is from a different study, it shows that the coffee fruit extract, the raw coffee fruit extract, has potential for brain function, especially helping boost the levels of a protein known to influence and support neurons and central nervous system activity. And that's good. Again, it's a polyphenol-rich coffee fruit extract, and it can help you. Quote, important in learning, memory, and behavior. And that's good. That benefits lots of people. And also, early surgical menopause is linked to declines in memory and thinking skills. This is a Parian Newswire, San Diego, and I'll quote it. It says, women who undergo surgical menopause at an earlier age may have an increased risk of decline in memory and thinking skills, according to a study released today from the American Academy of Neurology's annual meeting. Quote, while we found a link between surgical menopause, like a hysterectomy, and thinking and memory decline, women on longer hormone replacement therapies had slower declines. So, My suggestion would be, if a woman must have a hysterectomy, you have to understand that you're going to go right into many menopausal symptoms. That's where you can use natural and non-toxic hormone replacement therapies, Vitex and Fotai, Dong Quai, and get yourself into the hands of a really competent person who can make a difference in your life. And finally, the latest study from the University of Colorado's Cancer Center shows that a high fiber diet can inhibit prostate cancer spread. That's important when you consider how common prostate cancer is. And it reveals a protective effect for IP6, inositol hexaphosphate, against the metastatic prostate cancer, the metastasizing prostate. So IP6, very important, and that's abundant in a high-fiber diet. So that's good news. Probiotics plus aloe slows down the rise in cholesterol, actually can lower your cholesterol. And in fact, by as much as 40%, this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrition. So get your probiotics, and get your probiotics with 2 ounces of heavenly aloe, whole leaf liquid. That would help you. I'm Gary Nall. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm going to open the phones now. If you'd like to call in and share your thoughts on any of the topics that we generally discuss, please feel free to do so. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Welcome you. I'm Gary Nall. Let's say hello to Kevin from California. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Dr. Nall. How are you?
Good.
I was going to ask you about my mother's condition, but I just remembered that one of my friends' father, he lives in Iran, and he recently did angioplasty. 4 of his veins were clogged. One of them was 75% clogged. And he also has very high blood pressure, so they need 4 stents, put up 4 stents in his vein. And they would like to know what they can do naturally themselves to help with the condition.
Okay. Okay. Hang up and listen, because you're on a cell phone and not coming through. Thank you. There's a lot we can do for a person's heart. And I suggest you look at this as helping any condition, not just theirs. First, understand that we need to get anything that's pro-inflammatory out of their diets. That means anything that's fried, especially deep fried. Animal high-cooked proteins in particular are bad and can close the arteries. Sugars, caffeinated beverages. I would get rid of all coffee. That really is highly anabolic. And if you have cancer, you don't want coffee. Any soft drinks. Get rid of all that. Now, then you're going to have to use the foods that are common. Now, if they live in Iran, there's a high probability that due to sanctions, they're not going to have the availability of a lot of things that you or I would have. So I would look at the seeds, the lignans, sesame seeds, very common, chickpeas, which they make hummus from, also common. The oils, the most powerful thing he could do at this moment would be black cumin seed oil, and it is available in Iran, all throughout the Middle East, more so here than here in the United States. And yet it's more powerful than, let's say, cauliflower oil or the omega-3 fatty acids or olive oil. I mean, it's a superstar. It stands alone. I would suggest that if he could get into a chelation therapy program, the more he can do, like growing wheatgrass and then juicing it. And there are little manual hand crank wheatgrass machines that are relatively easy to find. If not, then the more greens that he eats, the healthier he's going to be. The vitamins, I'm not sure which ones that he could get, but certainly carnitine, L-carnitine, would help his heart. Coenzyme Q10, fish oils, magnesium would be right at the top of my list. 1,200 milligrams of magnesium a day, spread out 400 milligrams three times a day. Any of the antioxidants that will help prevent cardiac arrhythmias, heart attack, and angina. And carnitine protects the heart muscle from damage due to poor circulation or partial arterial blockage is what he has. I would say giving the omega-3 fatty acids, which are rich in DHA, three times a day. Also, vitamin D3, 3,000 units in the morning, 3,000 in the afternoon. And if he can get B1, B6, and folic acid, that would be good too. And garlic and onions. The more garlic and the more onions, both of which are common there, the better it's going to be, and the healthier he's going to be. Now, I know in Iran they have fermented products, including fermented milk. I would have him use fermented milk two or three times a day. Now, there are other things he could do, but there's high probability he's not going to be able to find them over there because of all the sanctions. Hope that helps. All the best to you. Let's go over and say hello to Luann Panes. He's on the line. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I've had a couple of emails. Since you've put out your work on vaccines, there have been a lot of people emailing me about vaccines. Like, for instance, there was a woman who was trying to get pregnant, and in preparation for that, her doctor gave her a series of vaccines. And she's asking me, how can she detoxify from this vaccine? Of course, she started reading your stuff and listening to your CDs about vaccines and watching the DVDs after she got the vaccination. So she says, how do I get the toxic effects of the vaccine out of my body?
Specially prepared homeopathic zeolites. Because based upon the laws of similars, what they will do is they will create a counter vaccine from extremely dilute preparations that are based upon what the actual viruses within the existing vaccines would do in the human body. And that's the laws of similars. For example, if you burned your hand, they might give you a homeopathic solution of poison ivy. Because what happens when you get poison ivy is you get blistering with lots of white blood cells, the blister sac is full, and there's redness. Well, to help with a burn, you would give something that causes that in a healthy person. And that's the rules of similar. That's how it works. So that's what you would have done. That would be your single best way. The second best way would be intravenous vitamin C at very high doses at the same time that you're using chelation therapy. Now, vitamin C in and of itself is a natural chelator, but I would also use juices I would normally not recommend for someone, but when someone has a vaccine toxicity, I certainly would, and it works, where you start off with your basic juice, celery, cucumber, and green apple. To that, you can then add garlic and onion. and cayenne. It's a little strong, and you have to do it gradually to build up. But once you do, it's great for helping neutralize the adverse effects of vaccinations. What else?
Well, on the same vein, I had a gentleman speak to me today about the fact that he's a doorman, and he feels that since the hospitals are imposing vaccines on their nurses, there's been talk that they're going to make doormen get vaccines next. And, you know, I'll tell you, one of the concerns is that they're afraid that if they refuse it, they're going to get blacklisted. And this is a real concern for people. That they feel like, you know, in this economy, people are afraid for their jobs, and yet they're imposing things that people don't want to take. And especially, you know, with all the information now that's out about vaccines. So what are your thoughts on that?
You have to break what you just said into pieces and examine each piece and then see how it fits. For example, we are a nation that's supposed to be based on freedom of choices. But rarely do we have the choices necessary to have the outcome we want. Look at our political process. Citizens United allowed major corporations, or in fact governments, to associate by being considered persons with political candidates. Now, the only reason that they would back a political candidate is because they could control the candidate's propositions they're going to put forward. But to make sure that they have a plan B, they created ALEC's. And ALEC, which is over 300 major corporations, then decides what is in our best interest, meaning the corporate best interest. Well, get rid of that pesky minimum wage. You know, that interferes with how much profit we can make. So they work on keeping the minimum wage so low that nobody working at a minimum wage can actually have a living income. They have to have two jobs or several people in the same family working. Then you get rid of seniority. You start bringing in people from other countries who are highly qualified and decent people. I don't for a second condemn the people coming in from India or Pakistan or South Korea who have masters and doctorates and or engineers because they need work. So they're coming in. They're being taught by a person who might have been working in the United States at a job for 15, 20 years, had built up seniority and a quality of life. And now the moment that person is fully trained, the person who trained them is fired. Where that person had seniority and had built up a lot of vacation time and benefits and a pension, this person comes in and works for one half that amount and none of the pluses, meaning none of the other things that a person who had been there with seniority would have. So you get rid of this whole idea that somehow you can work in the United States, as historically was the case, and certainly we owe it to John L. Lewis and George Meany and all the other heads of unions who allowed the unions to have collective bargaining and improve the quality of the middle class, working middle class's existence. That's what led to a higher standard of living and the middle class for almost 40 years, from the mid-1940s until the mid-1970s, and then a little later. But then it was all taken back again. Then they want to be able to outsource jobs. So any time a group can come in, an equity partnership, and buy up a well-run company that doesn't have a lot of debt, and then load it with debt, strip off its assets, sell those assets, outsource the actual manufacturing to a country with dirt cheap labor, labor far cheaper than anything in the United States, and then you keep the profits you've made in the other countries in offshore havens like Luxembourg or the Canary Islands or the Isle of Man or wherever you choose to put your money, but you're not paying tax on it. There's $31 trillion in money made in the United by United States companies or individuals, but they don't want to pay the American tax dollar. Instead, they keep it out of the country. And then lobby to make sure that there are legislators who help give a green light. Okay, let's just repatriate this money back to corporations and not charge them anything or a tiny little fee, and that's the game they play. But what about the hundreds of people that worked in that factory in that town for 80 years? Now the factory's gone, unemployment's high, gangs proliferate, home foreclosures, people can't find work at the job that they had, and as a result, they have to work with whatever they can. And so quality of life goes down, the amount of personal debt goes up, and the very banks who were responsible for getting all the money they wanted from the Federal Reserve and then turn around and work out deals with equity partnerships to then buy these companies, it's all phantom money. It's all casino. And in the end, the very bank that you used to have as your bank is the bank now that's going to foreclose on you without any compassion. So you have to equate the power of the corporate dominant culture that we live in today, that the only value anyone has is as a commodity. If you're black or Latino, there's a high probability today that you'll be stopped and searched if you live in New York City. Could you imagine what would happen, Luann, if they began to stop and search, as they do, up against the wall, show me your pockets, let's say people on Wall Street, or people coming in and out of all the networks, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity. What do you think would happen if they stopped Ann Coulter or Laura Ingraham or any of the people who claim as hypocrites frequently do, that they're for the Constitution? When was the last time they got in a line in front of something to protest, risking getting arrested? But it doesn't happen that way.
No, they don't. They're protected by their Fox News group.
That's correct. So, well, they're protected because they support fascism. They support a war machine. They support imperial overdrive. They support manifest destiny. They support getting rid of the weakest amongst us. If you're poor because, you know, someone took your job and outsourced it, well, you'll hear them railing against you're not a part of the person, you know, the whole mindset of get up on your feet and do it yourself. I did it so you can do it. So they blame the victim. They don't look at the circumstances or context. You may be unemployed or underemployed or in debt. You know, they're extremely responsible people who have had nothing to do with the circumstances that caused them to be in a terrible situation today, but they're blamed as if they are the problem. This kind of almost cult-like mindset of fascism permeates all of Fox, but also permeates much of the left, including The Nation magazine, in my opinion. Now, they'll say that's not possible, and also, yes, it is. And I'll give them specific examples. I'll show them everything they've done about the war on AIDS is wrong. They won't acknowledge it. And they're pro, you know, vaccinations, and they won't challenge it. Now, there may be individuals who do, but I've seen their policy in supporting Obama. For what? That's the worst fascism. I mean, he's George Bush with a brain. So how can you say that all that we have had done in the world today, from the drones to the National Defense Authorization Act to redoubling down on the Patriot Act to making all whistleblowers criminals and going after them, more people have been arrested or charged as whistleblowers under Obama than all other presidents in the United States history combined. And yet, he's their man because of this lesser of two evils concept. If you're really concerned about two evils, why don't you look at people who are not evil? Why don't you look at Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or Rocky Anderson or any of the others or some combination? This is the torturous intellectual process that's been so bankrupt for so long, but people on the left are so embarrassed to acknowledge it, especially the corporate left instead of the legitimate historical social left. They have the truth on their side, as does the historical conservative right. They also have the truth on their side. Everything else in the middle, which controls everything, is the lie. And just like they support medicine, well, why don't they come and look at our research? We've sent it to them. Why, they've never acknowledged any of the documentaries, the plight of homeless vets. We've made them aware of it. Every single person in the media gets a copy of our documentaries when we release them. Not one, not a single human being has ever acknowledged it. Unless it's people who are not in the media, but people who want the truth, like Joseph Marcola and Mike Adams and Bill Flynn at Life Extension and many others. But not in the media, because once you open the door to something, Luann, if you understand what's behind the door, and if truth is behind the door, and what you've been supporting are half-lies, and there's an old Jewish saying, a half-truth is a full lie. And now you open that door, and everything that you were, you know, against now comes out, and it shows that you were wrong. You're not going to do it. You're just not going to do it. You'll continue to resist, figuring you'll win because you control the media, you control the think tanks. ALEC is just the overarching group, but inside of that, you've got the Business Roundtable. Supporting it, you've got the Council on Foreign Relations, you've got the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg, all there to represent a particular point of view on different issues, which is their right, you know? But I didn't elect them, you didn't elect them to have the power they have. It's the degree of power a person has over deciding what we should do. And then they control the state legislators, ALEC does, and then your state goes ahead and votes things into law that are against the public's interest, but for the corporate interest, and then they start to take away our Clean Air Act and Clean Water Act, or water it down, and then one day, foods that would otherwise, chemicals been banned because they cause cancer, because of the Delaney Amendment that was there to protect us, it's been taken away by Bill Clinton. And so now anything you want to produce, you can. And then they bring in the treaties, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which makes all of our laws, once we sign the treaty, subordinate to a group of international corporations. 600 of them, same 600 just turns out that are in ALEC, plus more internationally, and the government's behind them. And then one day you wake up and you find out that you have no say-so over anything and you have no rights over anything. They have rights over every part of your life. If they want to kill you, arrest you, harass you, audit you, if they tell you that you must buy this health insurance, and you say, but there's no health in the health insurance. It's a fraud. Obamacare is a fraud from top to bottom. Well, we realize that, but you're an idiot. It has nothing to do with health, but don't tell that to people on the left because they wanted everyone insured. Then why didn't they ask for what was reasonable and responsible? Why didn't you simply say, give us a single-payer coverage under Medicare? So nobody's left out and everybody gets care that is affordable. Ah, but that's not the game. That's not how you show your allegiance to the people that give you money. And so the insurance company writes the bill, the pharmaceutical company sponsors it, and the for-profit hospital association drives it through. And you have thousands of lobbyists make sure that the legislators are bought. They write the legislation, it's passed, and everybody thinks they're getting something until all they get is a bigger bill. But it won't lessen heart attacks or strokes, obesity or diabetes, dementia or Alzheimer's. It won't stop people from having colorectal cancer, lung cancer. It won't stop people from bad behaviors. It won't stop people from being stressed, nor help them once they are stressed. It will not reverse the epidemic of making diseases that do not exist, like social anxiety disorder, or the drugs that treat them. It will not stop the drugging of our children. It will not feed the 18 million hungry children. It will not house the 2 million homeless children. It will not help the 240 million Americans who are sick and overweight. And it will not stop the abuse in medicine, the enormous amount of gouging on drug costs. And yet there are fools who will give you some superficial argument that somehow this is good. It is not. And so one day, when you didn't pay attention to the countries we were invading for democracy, peace, and freedom, we said, but it was for oil and gas or geopolitical interest, and we were spending $5 billion every single week on foreign expeditions and maintaining our war efforts and our colonialism. And when you didn't question the evisceration of good teaching standards and good curriculum and critical thinking analysis and how to think, not just what to think, and you replace it with for-profit, privatized school curriculum and school teaching so that testing out is your single most important virtue, you're rewarded for the number on the page, not what's in your brain. And you didn't question it. And you didn't question unions going from 51% to 7%. And you didn't question people that once owned their homes now losing their homes, and homes that had a value now are underwater. And you didn't question all the 48 million Americans who've been made homeless in the last 6 years. And you didn't question that medical health care costs was the number one or number two reason for bankruptcy during the last 10 years. And you didn't question usurious rates on credit cards and student loans and compounding interest. And you didn't question the minimum wage. And you didn't question genetic engineering. You didn't question pesticides. You didn't question the lawsuits brought against farmers if a genetic seed from a local farm should end up on their land due to no fault of themselves. And you didn't question the 26% cesarean rate, the highest in the developed world. And you didn't question that we have 39 other countries where you're likely to live a longer life. You didn't question where all of our plastic goes and the eutrophication and acidification of our water. You didn't question global warming. You didn't question about where to have a house at the side of an ocean that is rising and being taking back the land and everything on it. You didn't question the increasing degree of severity of storms because of the water warming. You didn't question the states that had the worst forest fires in their history, 11,000 extreme weather events in the United States in the last 12 months. You didn't question these. You simply accepted them. You didn't question the complete corruption of our political system from punk-ass mayors and people who buy themselves elected office, never based upon the merits of character, but the unmitigated need for supremacy, the ultimate alpha dog. It's never questioned. Never question the biases in the news media. Never question why not a single major journalist in the network circle has ever questioned the JFK assassination, the RFK assassination, the Martin Luther King assassination, irrespective of all the legitimate evidence that never, and you accepted 9/11. As if the official story was the only story. You accepted Sandy Hook and the dozens of inconsistencies in what happened. Yeah, there was a shooting. Now, why is everything about that wrong? You don't question contradictions in logic and reason. You didn't question why we have an epidemic of obesity in children with adult diabetes, type 2. You didn't question why over 38% of all Americans are overweight or obese. We are the fattest nation per capita in the world. You didn't question the loss of our topsoil, making us into another dust bowl of the 1930s. And you didn't question that we lead the world in manufacturing weapons of destruction. You didn't question the fact that we're the only nation in the world that's ever used weapons of mass destruction, and then secretly created those that Saddam Hussein was used on the Kurds and the Iranians. You didn't question the October surprise. No. Or MK Ultra. You didn't question when the Occupy Wall Street movement was out there getting us to pay attention to inequality, and instead the FBI made them all targets. In fact, you didn't question when the pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline, which has nothing to do with them making us less dependent upon foreign oil, because all of the oil, every single drop, was to be exported, just taken through the United States to Texas so it could go out through the Gulf. You didn't question what environmental impact would have. You didn't question when they said nuclear power is clean and safe and too cheap to meter, all the while people around them have the highest levels of breast cancer. Women living within 50 miles of a nuclear power plant have a disproportionate amount of breast cancer, and when one of the plants is decommissioned, the breast cancer rate goes down. You didn't question what would happen if there's a solar storm and you're without electricity, especially if that nuclear power plant goes offline and goes Fukushima. You didn't question Fukushima and what happened since, that it's still spewing radiation. Everything that the government of Japan told us has been a lie, but that's always been true. You didn't question the Federal Reserve and its power and the private banks that control the Federal Reserve and profit from it. You didn't question the quantitative easing, first, second, third, and fourth, totaling over $20 trillion at zero interest. You didn't question derivatives at $600 trillion in derivatives when the total world gross domestic product is only about $76 trillion. You didn't question when we said that Greece is a financial basket case because its gross domestic product versus its debt is the highest in the European Union, and yet the United States, our total unfunded and underfunded entitlements and a debt, corporate debt, homeowner debt, college kids' debt, credit card debt, government debt, state debt, underfunded pensions, and all the rest is almost eight times the gross domestic product, which means that we're worse than Greece. And it, because we can print all the money we want, we never question, what does that do to the value of the dollar if we just keep printing so much and giving it always every month to the same bankers who then just gave $12 billion in bonuses for Goldman Sachs? Weren't they the ones who caused this problem along with J.P. Morgan and Bank of America? Yeah. And no one questioned it. They didn't question the vaccines that cause autism. You didn't question the ads on television. You didn't question how the police have been militarized and how TSA agents can give you an x-ray every time you go in there and look at your whole body and then sexually grope you, sexually molest you. Or let me put it another way. If it's not sexual molestation, then what if a man came over to you, a stranger you'd never seen before, and you're sitting in a movie theater, and the man suddenly starts to fondle your body exactly in the same way that a TSA agent? That person would be arrested for sexual assault. So every TSA agent who is engaged in this is a sexual predator. You're just like the Nazis. The moment they made the laws, they make their actions legal and protesting them illegal. But no one questioned it. Like lemmings, like mindless drones that just line up and say, I don't care if we don't have constitutional rights. I don't care if we don't have Bill of Rights. I don't care if they shred the Constitution completely. I don't care if we become a fascist, totalitarian police state. I don't care if we have more oligarchs running around, supercilious idiots with lots of money and surgically enhanced, completely dim-witted wives. I don't care about any of this. All I care about is my escape into the reality television. Entertain me, and I'll accept anything. So exactly how in the world is someone supposed to deal with a single right that has been taken away when we have had thousands of our rights taken away and no one seemed to have cared in the mainstream? And those who do care are marginalized and ridiculed and mocked as extremists. If they're liberal, they're considered extreme liberals, the nut jobs. If they're right, they're considered the Tea Party and the libertarians, the extremist nut jobs. Why don't you discuss the issue and see what they actually have to say? And then ask yourself, is it reasonable or unreasonable? And why can't you look at what you're living through and ask yourself, is it reasonable or unreasonable? We're not willing to even do that. So we have an empowered minority who are making good choices and a disempowered majority who are making the worst choices of their life. And it will take most of their lives, heart attack, strokes, and cancer, obesity, and diabetes. And those that do not die quickly will die through the death of the essential element of life, happiness. They'll live in stupors of depression. They'll live an extremely narrow life. They will shrink themselves on all levels so as not to offend people in power. And people in power know that you cannot raise your voice or you cannot show too much passion because that will frighten people who are obedient to power. So as long as you can smile like Ronald Reagan and wave, as long as you can do a saxophone number or dance or sing, then we will say, gee whiz, that's someone I like. What do you know about what they're doing to you? Oh, I don't mind. They're going to waterboard you, metaphorically. Well, I don't mind. Can I watch television while they're doing it? Sure. You know, Luann, you could surgically remove a person's right ear then left ear. They're still alive. You could surgically remove each toe and each finger. They're still alive. You could castrate them. They're still alive. You could remove their breasts. They're still alive. You could take out their two eyeballs. They're still alive. And you could take one half of their brain away. They're still alive and fully conscious. You could take out their tongue. They're still alive. They could take out one kidney and one lung. They're still alive and fully conscious. Isn't it amazing how much we can take away before someone realizes that they're not going to be alive spiritually, intellectually, creatively? Hope that answers that question.
Gary, did you see the article by Colin Todhunter called The Lies of Democracy and the Language of Deceit?
No.
I'm going to send that over to you. It really goes into just what you're talking about, and he even has a quote from George Carlin. Now they're coming for your Social Security. They want your retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll all get it sooner or later because they own this place. Yeah.
They George do. Was, they own everything.
Yeah.
Now, you would think that if a person has the power to own everything, that they might stop a moment and ask themselves, should they have any moral equation as to what it means to take away all the power from those who have nothing now? And have you seen any of these rich or powerful people give a damn about anyone but themselves?
Of course not.
You don't see it in the corporations. You don't see it anywhere on Wall Street. The biggest metastasizing cesspool. Washington and Wall Street and the quarters of power are filled with people who do not see the world around them, nor the people suffering. All they see is what's in it for me today. So as long as you're willing to trust the people in power, believe them, then it is inevitable that you will be victimized by them. And only when we had a counterbalance to that power in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, when we had teachers who were not afraid to teach and stood up and defied, when we had people not willing to engage in corrupt practices. But today, so few have the courage. You have not seen major strikes of teachers saying, no more stupid tests the way we've done them. You know, let's get back to actually teaching kids critical thinking. As long as people are afraid of losing the paycheck they have or their entitlement they have, then we stay in the trajectory we're in. So my suggestion is rather than being frustrated by this, simply look at how you can make your change to a better time, a better place in your life. Close the chapters. So you're not frustrated, you're not angst-ridden, you're not resentful. And do everything you're supposed to do. Go locally, go back to nature as much as possible. Get into some village, sustainable villages. Start looking for barter and fair exchange. Work with people who are positive and progressive. And that way you can know that you're in control of your life, even if those around you mock you for it. I remember people were critical of little old ladies in tennis shoes. Well, today, the ones that mock them have died of colon cancer, and those little ladies in tennis shoes are still out there walking. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more on our next program.